Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros took down the Pirates 3-0 last night. Technically, Lance McCullers outdueled Paul Skeens because McCullers got the win. Poor Paul Skeens. Just no offense from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Someone had asked earlier, where's Paul Skeens going to end up next? Quick answer for you. It's going to be between three places. Assuming that he stays with Livy Dunn. And honestly, how could you leave Livy Dunn? Strong, powerful, independent woman who just reinvented the game at Miami Swim Week with a split at the end of her runway walk. The Marlins will never be good. So as badly as she wants to go to Miami, I don't think that Paul Skeens would sign with the Marlins.
No, the Marlins and the Pirates are like the go-to teams for like, this young superstar, where is he going to get traded
exactly.
next?
Exactly. And Skeens is definitely at the top of that. So I would think either the Yankees, depends on how Livy feels about a mustache, I would think, although they're a little more open to different hairstyles now, or it's L.A. I think it's L.A. Livy, I would imagine, wants to graduate to the next level of stardom, perhaps a little acting. Why not? Hollywood. It's dying, but Hollywood. Still dying. But that is perhaps the next place, and the Dodgers clearly do not care. So what a bunch of the contracts they currently have off the books, or on the books or off the books. Oh, yeah. He's a Dodger.
Well, I was just going to say, like, there's four teams that would pay him the money that he would command as the best player in baseball, so or the best pitcher in baseball. So, yeah, it's just teams that, like, would pay him. It would be Mets, Yankees, Dodgers. Then, like, maybe, I don't know, like, the Phillies, maybe? Like, there's really not that many teams that these high-level stars, like, actually would go to or can go to because every other team in baseball, like, doesn't pay anyone.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like the NFL where it's, like, every team can pay the salary cap. It's like some teams, like if a pitcher is like, hey, I want to make $250 million, but I'm the best pitcher in baseball, it's 2/3 of the league is just like, cool, see you somewhere else.
You would think there would be one team out there though that would be like, F it, let's just have this guy as our one attraction. One every five games, we're gonna have different prices for those one of every five games.
Pittsburgh Pirates are that team right now, but they're not paying them. I get what you're saying. They're not paying them the whatever $30 million per year, $50 million per year that he could get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the Astros don't do that. They have a high payroll, but they don't do that, you know?
Day One Donna asks, what about the Astros for Paul Skeens? Come on. No, that's not happening.
We're worried about keeping Hunter Brown. Are you kidding me? We're not even worried about keeping Fromber because we know he's out. Hunter Brown, we're like, they probably already missed the boat on paying him.
Speaking of Hunter Brown, someone asked, did Jacob deGrom outduel Hunter Brown? I've got such a short memory with baseball. I don't even remember when those guys pitched against one another. I remember complaining about the fact that, like, I don't like pitcher's duels.
Yeah, that was another, like,
did Brown pitch better than deGrom despite losing to deGrom? Like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
When did that happen? I don't even remember.
2 weeks ago.
There's too many games.
It is. That's the tough part. Is that was like
Was that last year?
That was before Memorial Day weekend, so there's no chance.
Ooh, there's that too. There's that too. No, thank you. I have an out. I have an out. I was off for a couple of days, so I just checked out, completely forgot about everything. Didn't even watch that Seattle series. Oh, Paul, why are you bragging about it? Because I'm honest. That's why. I cannot lie. George Washington probably lied at least once. When's the last time I lied? Except for that one time that you listened to me on the air and I was being sarcastic. Just that one time. Only happened once.
That one that you're thinking of right
now. That one that you're thinking of. That's the only time. It's my favorite part of The Godfather when Vito Corleone is meeting with all the five families. He's like, what if I ever broke the truce? Except that one time. It's like, whoa. What about the one time? Thinking of one time seems like it would be pretty good.
Yeah. We're talking about truces being broken.
Anyway, it is the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. I guess Paul Skeens is from Fullerton, California, so that's near L.A. Maybe the Angels, too. The Angels were the team that spends a ton of money on the one guy. Yeah.
I think it's also just a bummer to, like, be like, this guy who's an awesome pitcher, but the second he gave up one run, knew he lost the game.
I feel bad.
Go to that crappy team.
Yeah.
Go to that other crappy team.
Like, Mike Trout should tell him, no, don't come here. Don't come here. You'll hate yourself.
Do the opposite of recruiting. Recruit your own team.
Trout probably regrets that contract. He might not say it publicly, but he must. I mean, Shohei got out. He's stuck.
Yeah. That is the downside to signing a
massive deal.
15-year. Or no, just like 15-year deal.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe you want to give yourself a couple outs in the middle.
713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. I felt so good not talking about C.J. Stroud's shoulder in that segment. But C.J. Stroud's shoulder, is it something to be concerned about? Huh? Also, the next time we hear from C.J. Stroud, this is what I want to hear from him. What am I talking about? Stick around.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros get another game against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at 5:40 Central Time. After last night's 3-0 win, another good outing by Lance McCullers, 6 scoreless innings against, yes, one of the worst offenses in baseball. 7 strikeouts along the way, just 2 hits and a walk. Was working on a no-hitter for a notable enough time in that game, and he has been really good since that disastrous start against the Reds. He's going to need to keep doing this so that the Astros bullpen is not taxed to hell by the end of the year. And because this offense is just not putting enough runs across the plate. For those who don't know, I randomly did a bit of a deep dive on the Astros and when they've been scoring runs, because it does feel like they've scored an inordinate amount of runs in the last couple of innings of a game, which is actually true. They are at their best from an OPS perspective from the 6th through 8th innings. They haven't played in every single 9th because there's been a lot of wins that they've had at home. But if you take a look at the Astros offensively, in the first inning, they are close to the bottom of baseball in just about every single major offensive statistic that matters. In terms of runs scored, dead last. In terms of OPS, dead last. And in terms of batting average, they're towards the bottom, not dead last, but 25th. Batting .227, OPS of .568, and 15 runs scored in the first inning. That is bizarre because you would think that would be a good inning considering that's the top of the lineup. Alas, it ain't. So hopefully they'll be able to get some runs across the plate tonight. They won't have to do much against a Pittsburgh Pirates offense that the first inning through ninth inning blows. They stink offensively. There's a reason Pulse Games was like, well, this game's over. But tonight, the Astros have a chance to, at the very least, maintain their lead in the American League West, which they run with Ryan Gusto on the hill. Ryan Gusto at least seems sort of capable of going five innings.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right.
Of all the guys we're filling in right now, he does seem all right. Now, has he gone five innings over the last few starts he's had?
He had a terrible one, I know.
No, it's been a while. But Royals, yes, he only lasted 2 1/3 against the Royals. Against the Mariners, he lasted 4 1/3. He gave up 2 home runs in that one. And against the Rays, he lasted 3 2/3, and he really fought to get through there.
To me, this is why Lance McCullers being, I don't want to say like being rejuvenated, but, you know, what you've gotten out of Lance McCullers, that's why it's so huge, is that yes. It's even less the high strikeout totals and the lack of runs. It's also like the last two starts, he's gone six innings. You know, like that is just for what the Astros need out of their third starter. Like that by itself is pretty big. Right. It's just he can go three in, or six innings.
Because they think Ryan Gusto can. They like Ryan Gusto's talent.
Yeah, it's hard to ask any of these space Cowboys that are in the rotation to like, hey, you know, you better go. You better give us some innings today. It's like he's just trying to get outs. Yeah. You know, he like, and I'm not even really holding against him because they're the fourth and fifth starters on this team. Where like, honestly, they shouldn't be the fifth starters. So
no, they shouldn't.
They're being asked a lot. They're, I guess, keeping their head above water slightly. Like they're not obviously not ready for it, but you just have to have such low expectations when you have a Gusto or. Who's the other?
Colton Gordon.
Yeah, I was going to say two first names.
Brandon Walter is the other one.
Other two first names.
Well, I also confused with Barstool Sports. Brandon Walker, which goes to show you how
anonymous
this pitcher is. No offense to this guy. We are not going to Joe George Blair Henley again.
Yeah, I did just call him the Space Cowboys. Like, they're collectively the Space Cowboys.
AJ Blue Ball, don't forget.
Exactly, just all of them. All of them. But, yeah, that's why. I mean, I'm sorry, Ryan Gusto, that I turned your plight into a compliment for Lance McCullers.
But it is a big one. He's on the hill tonight. Yeah. We're not even 100% sure if it's Gusto or Gusto because you watch the Astros broadcast, you know, you might maybe watch it on mute with someone like Gusto on the hill. And maybe watch something else on your bigger TV in your room. Anyway, hey, guys, yeah, that's the most insufferable story of the summer. And, it's not going anywhere. I'm, of course, talking about the health of C.J. Stroud, specifically a pectoral injury that became a shoulder injury, I guess, over the course of the last week. The Texans are giving us absolutely nothing on that front. Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday at Texans voluntary OTAs after C.J. Stroud for yet another media attended practice, did not throw passes, though he was wearing a helmet, a red jersey, and handing the ball off.
First off, I know everybody's going to ask, first, CJ not throwing again. There's no concerns with CJ. It's just general soreness. We're taking extra precaution with him, but he'll be good to go. No concerns on my end there.
For CJ, it'll be, like I said, he has general soreness, and we're just taking extra precaution with him. When he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
Do you have any work on his shoulder in the offseason?
That's it for CJ, guys. On the questions, that's it. What I said, that's it for him. Like, his general soreness, and we're taking extra precaution with him. We're not going to rush him into anything. He'll be fine. When the moment is for him to be ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
I wonder how D'Amico feels about this going forward, because he's going to keep getting asked about this. I think there's another media availability next week, and then after that, it's just a long dead period until training camp. You would think that they're going to make C.J. Stroud available again. And I feel like what they got to do is they got to have Stroud, if they want people to stop talking about this and stop panicking about this and second-guessing them, they're going to have Stroud talk and just maybe lie.
I'm annoyed by the story. I get why it's a story. Don't get me wrong. I'm just annoyed by it. I'm not concerned about it. I'm not letting other people make me concerned about it. I will be concerned about it when we come back to this in training camp or when we come back to this at the start of the regular season. I feel like I can only, this NFL offseason, we will talk a lot of NFL this offseason, but there's only so much I can say right now. They have new receivers. Hopefully they're good. They have new offensive linemen. Hopefully they're good. They have a new offensive coordinator. Hopefully he's good. They have a new offensive line coach. Hopefully he's good. To me, these are far more pressing questions than whether or not C.J. Stroud is going to be good to go by the start of the year or playing at an 100% level.
Yeah, there's a lot of new in this Texans offense, and C.J. Stroud not being there to, I guess, build chemistry, that to me is something I start to worry about when training camp starts. That is not a mini camp problem to me, because this is glorified walkthroughs. It is position drills. It is like very bare bones level football.
They're installing a new offense with their new offensive coordinator and with a bunch of young players out there. This is really about more these guys getting the basics done and also practicing with the intensity that the head coach and the veterans are looking for and have been trying to embody. That's really it when it comes to this time of year. As far as the chemistry stuff that you mentioned, Sean, the only chemistry between the offensive lineman and Stroud that's going to matter at this point is figuring out Stroud's cadence. And for anyone who's known NFL history long enough, you'd know that all you need is a tape cassette to record audio to go John Randall and figure out what a snap count sounds like, how it will sound so I can get used to it on specific snap counts. And then as far as other things that Stroud can get a little bit more in tune with, I mean, it probably, with his shoulder issue being an issue right now, they probably would not want him to work out privately with some of the young wide receivers and some of the veteran wide receivers. But I'm assuming that will happen between now and then, given that there are two rookie receivers who probably want to have the biggest impact they possibly can their rookie season, especially considering the fact that due to the injury to Tank Dell, there is definitely a void after the second wide receiver spot. But between Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, I mean, you got a pretty damn good one too. So we'll see. We will see. I'm just not concerned, and I'm not going to allow people to scare me into being concerned. And I don't think that you need to be concerned. And that's what the whole talk is like. There's people saying you don't need to be concerned, and there's people saying you need to be concerned. Take your pick. Honestly, I just want to table this until it actually matters. Right now, it could matter down the road, but as a master procrastinator, it doesn't really matter that much to me.
No, I agree, especially, again, because it's minicamp. Like, if this was...
Not even minicamp. Yeah, we're at OTAs. It's voluntary attendance. Minicamp is mandatory. That's next week.
Like, they're not... Even if you want to talk about, like, C.J. Stroud's role in identifying protections and stuff, they're not going against the defense. Like, they're not actually doing 11-on-11. Like, they're just so little... Not so little going on, not to minimize the work that they're doing, because there is some level of, like, the attitude that they bring, and D'Amico Ryan's talked about that with the offensive line, how he loved that. But it's low stakes right now. What you're missing is pretty low stakes stuff that you can definitely catch up on.
The only way to make this conversation interesting, Sean, is if we put together a list of guests and we just bring in people, you know? And I do think at some point this summer we will be bringing in some people, because there might be some slow days. So we have a list of people we're thinking about, you know,
potential guests.
Potential. I need to talk to somebody else because I'm too uncreative to think of anything on this day. Right?
Yeah.
We need people like that. So like I got a list.
Checking it twice.
Gonna find out who's got hot takes or whose takes are ice.
Whoa. Damn. Is that off the top of your head?
It was off the top of my head.
Impressive.
So, yeah, we'll put together a list. I mean, maybe that could be it. Ask along anything. 713-780-3776 to call to text. We'll talk about that on Friday. But also, like, who should the Paul Gallant show have on?
And should one of the standing questions be like, are you panicked about CJ Stroud's shoulder?
Oh, that's the first question. And how
worried are you?
If you give us the wrong answer, we'll kick you out.
Segment's over. Like, later.
All right.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, he's got a podcast. Yeah. He's got some product. All right. Paul Gallant show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. What is washed in the world of sports? It's Washed Watch Wednesday. And if you want to weigh in on Lance McCullers, is he back? CJ Stroud's shoulder? Are you concerned? You also can, because it's the most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at Rize. RIIZEHealth.com. Rize is reinventing the game when it comes to you getting back in the game. I'm talking about pants tense, folks. You want to get it back up, right? Well, the Rize Health Red Max strips are your fast track to peak performance. We're talking about a peak, all right. These revolutionary dissolving strips have sildenafil, tadalafil, oxytocin for harder, longer-lasting results in minutes. What's in them? This is in like a condom-sized packet. It's discreet. You can easily put this under your tongue. You don't need water. You don't need a pill or anything like that. You don't need a full stomach. You get this stuff, and in 5 minutes, you're going to be good to go, and no one's going to know. That's the best part. All you got to do is go to risehealth.com, RIIZEHealth.com. You enter promo code 975 after talking to a board-certified physician for about 5 minutes or so. And guess what? You're going to get 20% off your first order. It's worth it, guys. If you want to get back in the game and you want to do it with something that's really going to get you up in the game, risehealth.com. Promo code 975. Your ass up, rise up, your ass up with risehealth.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Podcasting season, we will be bringing back a staple segment from last summer, the John Wall Memorial Athlete Podcasting Games, where we play clips from athlete podcasts during the slowest time of year and react to some of what they had to say. One of those podcasts is called, and I didn't know this, The Draymond Green Show with Baron Davis. That's the whole title, but it's with Baron Davis.
I don't like that. I don't like that for Baron Davis. Come on.
Well, they're trying to make him more likable, Draymond, so they have to put in with Baron Davis. So the logo says DGBD in a different font.
That's disrespectful to Baron Davis to me, that it's the Draymond Green
Show.
It
should be Draymond and Baron.
Yes.
DB. DB?
DB?
Yeah, what does that stand for? Defensive back?
Douche.
Oh. Bag. Could be either. Listen, there might be kids in the car. Sorry for that language. Just a moment ago.
The DB. The summer.
Yeah, it's the summer. We got to not say the DB, though. We got to stop there. We got to stop in our tracks. Didn't have to press the dump button, though, so how about that? The Draymond Green Show with Baron Davis. Draymond Green said this. We don't need to play the clip. We don't need to play it. But this is good news for the Houston Rockets. Making it to the NBA Finals is great. But if you don't win, it's almost worse. You might as well have lost in the first round. So, losing in the first round, it's just like losing in the NBA Finals. How about the Houston Rockets?
Equals.
Ahead of schedule.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Draymond. We'll play that clip. I think Friday is when we're going to bring it back officially.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of ones in the holster.
I mean,
we got Paul George takes. We got Tyree Kill and Antonio Brown on a podcast together.
I was going to say, we even had like an unofficial one for the New York Giants because it was in the NFL segment. It was Russell Wilson on Carmelo Anthony's podcast.
Yeah.
It was Cam Scatabo on the St. Brown Brothers podcast.
That's true. That one seems like a good show, though, the St. Brown podcast.
Yes. And then Kayvon Thibodeau was with Kevin Hart. Like, all these are just from off-season. Like, right now is prime off-season podcasting. So, the committee has convened. We will be taking suggestions and accumulating, hopefully, to get a solid 1-2-3 for Fridays going forward.
I think it'll be
till football season starts.
Yeah, exactly. Again,
it's like 2 months of this.
We are scraping the bottom. At least we find fun new stuff.
Yeah,
because some
of it is funny. It's not like worth. Hour of listening to.
Some of it's just so bad.
It's good.
It's good, but we want to make you aware of the fact that we're so good that we're not that bad.
Exactly. We might not have played in the league, but man, we're good at this, huh? At least better.
We hope.
Please
confirm.
Except for the St. Brown.
All right, it's time for Washed Watch.
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on the Paul Gallant Show.
The Orlando Magic released uniforms that are a throwback to their Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway days. It's the pinstripe jerseys. The same jerseys that they wore against the Houston Rockets in the NBA Finals, which has me thinking this. The current uniforms for the Houston Rockets are officially washed. It's been nearly 30 years since they were rocking the ketchup and mustards. Let's bring back the ketchup and mustards. Let's bring them back. You won back-to-back titles with those uniforms, and you don't even wear them. You don't even wear them as a throwback. You have the Clutch City jerseys, but it's red and black. It's the same font as those teams, but can we bring back the iconic Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Big Shot Bob, Mario Elie, Vernon Maxwell for one of the years,
Sam Cassell, Matt Bullard.
Ooh, throwing in Matt Bullard
I feel like we're naming everyone on the team.
There's someone I missed.
Otis Thorpe.
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean,
on one of them. Yeah.
There's lots of great players who played for those teams. They won back-to-back titles, and you haven't won those uniforms since. Coincidence? Possibly.
I mean, again, imagine the timing in which they changed those uniforms if a team did that today, where they won back-to-back titles and then changed their uniforms into, like, cartoony, pajama-looking pinstripes, like, where they have a rocket taking off on their court. Like, people would be like, what the hell just happened to this team that won back-to-back titles? That's something that the Rockets did in the late 90s.
It did.
I do think it's time at least to go back to some sort of influence in it, because the Magic one, like, they're a little bit different than the 95 jerseys, but they're like, obviously, that is what they're going for.
Yeah,
and
the pinstripes are cool. It's a good look. They're alternate uniform socks, but the two main ones are good. They're good, though.
I see what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listen, nostalgia sells. It's so weird that we've all gone away from nostalgia.
We're just circling back to, you know, it used to be 80s nostalgia. Now it's 90s and 2000s nostalgia. Yep. Like, where it's just a cycle.
It is. Magnus Carlsen, Norwegian grand chess master, has, I guess, lost multiple times in the last couple of days. And in losing one of those matches, he slammed on the table and he looked like a bitch. Again, he's a chess player. So, I mean, what chess player doesn't look like that? But Magnus Carlsen washed. Some are calling it the biggest blunder of his career.
What?
Because he slammed the table after he lost and no one knew that he lost.
Oh, wait. The slamming of the table is the blunder?
Broke the unwritten rules of chess by slamming the table.
Oh, I thought whatever caused him to lose was the blunder. Being like, oh, forgot you had a rook there.
His I'm Googling something. Continue, Sean.
Okay. Yeah, Magnus Carlsen, great name. Feel like you should be a strongman or a tackle for the Wisconsin Badgers, but I'll take Grandmaster of Chess. How many times do you have to lose before you're no longer a Grandmaster? Because I think two times in a week, like, the committee is at least looking at it, right?
Yeah.
I also thought you were going to say Grand Wizard.
Once, right? Yeah, I know. I was like, Grandmaster sounds... Oh, it's Grand Wizard.
Yes, actually, there should be one Grandmaster.
Yeah, just one.
It should be like the title belt.
You lose it once and no one has it. Yeah, it should be like a Yankees captaincy. Like, it's not always given out.
Today, we just don't have one. Sorry.
The thing I Googled was, is Magnus Carlsen the beads guy? Because that's my knowledge of chess.
Oh, yeah. He's involved, right?
Hans Niemann is the beads guy.
Okay.
He was allegedly using vibrator beads to communicate with a co-conspirator and cheat.
You but he was cheating against Magnus Carlsen, right?
Oh,
I don't know if
yes,
that's true.
Yes, you're right.
Okay. Okay.
You're right.
I was like, he was involved in the story. I've heard this guy's name before, and I can't imagine any other context where I would know a chess player's name.
I guess he talked about it in February on Joe Rogan. Magnus Carlsen talked about Niemann and the beads story. Washed Watch continues. Autograph Hounds. I mean, they've been washed.
Yeah.
What kind of loser are you if you're going to a Pawtucket Red Sox game or a Portland Sea Dogs game?
God.
And Roman Anthony, their mega prospect, is so concerned about all the autograph hawkers that they hid him in a laundry cart and wheeled him out to a team bus to avoid said autograph hounds.
Oh, let's see.
This went viral online.
I saw autograph hounds hiding in laundry, and I thought they were hiding in laundry.
No.
They had to hide him.
They had
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they had to hide this guy.
Like what they do with, like, pop stars and stuff.
Yeah, like Taylor Swift going into the arena.
That's nuts.
That is insane. So, yeah, that they've always been washed. I'm sorry.
How good is this guy to be worth it? Like,
dude,
no,
he hasn't
I'm
even
sure
played. He might suck. It's Boston. There's a very good chance he comes up and sucks. He's the number one prospect, but it is Boston. You know, like a lot of guys can't handle the unnecessary amount of attention that's given to the Boston Red Sox. Although less is given to them these days. Might be a little softer than it's been in years past. Our coaching handshakes at the end of a series between NHL teams washed because Carolina Hurricanes coach Rod Brind'Amour said he was surprised when Florida Panthers coach Paul Maurice asked him not to participate in their series-ending handshake line last week because Paul Maurice believes it should be just for the players, and he thinks coaches started doing that because they wanted to be in on the cameras. Paul Maurice first was a coach of the Hartford Whalers back in 1995. He shares my first and middle name with his first and last name. My name is Paul Maurice Gallant. In case you didn't know, my middle name is Maurice. Yes, very cool. I kind of like this, actually. It is weird that the coaches are a part of it. I mean, they're not out there
competing
at all.
I think it should be optional for the coaches if they want to. If they're two coaches that, like, you know, respect each other or whatever. I'm not saying they shouldn't shake each other's hands. But, yeah, I started off being ready to be against Paul Maurice like I am in most things. Normally it's a different Paul Maurice.
Whoa.
But this, yeah, I think as I learn more about his stance, I'm pro.
I like it.
I'm pro this. Hey, a lot of these coaches are being, look at me shaking hands. I'm good leaving it with the players.
The handshake line is very, very cool. I think that every sport should do it, honestly, but I get that they don't.
Yeah, the problem is it's like a little league. It's hard to, like, institute it because it becomes a little too, like, all right, everyone line up on the 50 and shake each other's hands.
The funny thing is, though, it shouldn't be little league. I get what you're saying, like, herding the cats together at a young age.
Yeah, you just, like, stop doing it at a certain point.
Right, you shouldn't. I mean, I suppose when every single level of sport that I've played, at the end of a game, you did handshakes with the other team. Maybe it just stops at the professional level.
No, it stops in college. Like, college teams don't do it.
Yeah, you might get. Well, that's true because Coach K might ruin it.
Yeah, he might. He might lecture you, Dylan Brooks. Yeah.
Anyway, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. A washed, watched Wednesday is complete. We watched. We washed. And now we're on to the last segment. Because we didn't wash at all. Because there's a little thing called garbage time stuck in the corner. Last chance to dance is next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Listen, I'm already tired of the discourse about CJ Stroud's shoulder because I know that since it will be during the trying times of the summer, a story until it's not. I'm just shuddering thinking of finding of different ways to talk about it every single day. But you know what? You know what? Maybe we will be able to do this. Maybe we will. I was just talking with the Killer Bees during the commercial break. And Jeremy Branham and I had a back and forth before today's show talking about this story, because some are correct to point out this is definitely a story. I just don't want it to be a story that is the entire focal point of my show for the next couple of weeks, you know? But we got it. We got it. If people could come up with different angles on this story going forward, this could be a way that we keep talking about it. So we might need some help from you on the most interactive sports talk show in town. It is Tinfoil Hat Thursday tomorrow, so that could be how we talk about it tomorrow. Just come up with your best conspiracy theories as to why CJ Stroud is not throwing at Texans OTAs. But he is there, and he's handing the ball off, and there's no sling. But here's a really interesting point brought up by Big Sarge Sports, who covers the Texans and Rockets for Big Sarge Media. We talk a little bit. I like him. I want this to be real so bad. He said this: I had a conversation with a source on Tuesday pertaining to quarterback CJ Stroud and him not throwing at OTAs and how it could be general soreness, but also an evaluation for Davis Mills. Is there a chance we're going to get a white quarterback, Dan? It's about damn time. It's about damn time.
Too long. It's been too long.
It's been way too long. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, the last white quarterback going into the year other than Davis Mills was Brock Osweiler, and he made you want to kill yourself, Paul. And that might be true. But listen, I feel persecuted like a minority here in this city of Houston, Texas, where I am a minority. That's right. I'm a minority. I don't feel represented. Now I know how all those people felt watching those Marvel movies until Black Panther came out. I know it feels. I'm watching this quarterback under center, and I'm thinking to myself, when is someone like me going to get a chance to play quarterback again? When's that going to happen? All right. So that could be it. This could be part of the reason Stroud's off to the side is because they're getting an evaluation in for Davis Mills. Yeehaw! Getting the Stanford man under center? Hell yeah. Talk about work ethic. Talk about intangibles. You talk about the little things. Think a boy from Stanford ain't going to do that? Yeah. Let's go.
So unrelatable. Like a 6'4" guy from Stanford.
Anyway, I like that. If we could bring little tidbits, tinfoil hat conspiracies, yeah, as to why. It's not Stroud right now that have nothing to do with an injury that we cannot get any more information on because the Texans are going to be cagey about it and HIPAA, all that stuff. This is a way to do it. Anyway, time for a little garbage time before we GTFO.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Wake Forest's baseball coach was caught on camera calling someone the other F-bomb during a college baseball regional game against Tennessee. His name is Tom Walter. He apologized. It's a very strange apology that he wrote for this. You would think that you'd write an apology that felt heartfelt, even if you don't 100% believe it. I am very sorry for my outburst and frustration last night, and I recognize the hurt and disappointment it has caused. I have seen the videos, and while I do not remember the specific moment clearly, that language doesn't reflect my values or the standards of this program. Regardless, I own the consequences, and I apologize to the University of Tennessee, to Wake Forest, and the SEC, and ACC.
Both conferences, thank you.
They needed that apology.
Yeah, the ACC was like, thank God you
apologized. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. The statement apology, just like immediately, I don't believe you're
not
serious.
Not in front of a camera.
Yeah, people video themselves doing whatever, all right? Just, like, if anything happens, you have Ryan Clark and you have Emmanuel Acho putting a camera in their face and talking about it for 3 straight minutes. If you actually feel sorry about something, like, you can just pull out your phone and record it.
Yeah.
When it's a typed out statement, I get that it's probably manicured by PR, which also speaks to maybe you don't actually mean it.
Written statement apology, bottom. Spoken statement, but looks like you're reading, middle.
Yeah.
From the heart apology, best.
Yeah.
Even if you did rehearse it before you do it.
Yeah, even just going through the motions is more than this. Also, crazy thing to call an opponent, opposing baseball player, just as he's walking up, just being like, look at this.
He did have a lot of face paint on.
Is that why?
I don't know, but, like, seeing that person, I would have been annoyed.
Like, well, I
he was taking his sweet time to get into the batter's box. Now, he did hit a home run right after he said that. So
that's gotta suck.
That makes it even worse. I'm not justifying what he said. All I'm saying is that's pretty tame as far as dugouts and locker rooms go. But gotta be mindful these days. There are cameras everywhere. And that's a word you shouldn't say in public. It's not. Anyway.
Should you say it in private, Paul?
I have no comment on the matter. Okay. I have no comment on the matter.
I just thought it was interesting.
Listen, I regularly get called that word. I don't mind it that much, but I do understand how there are some people who get mad about it. I actually had a conversation with a gay friend the other day, and I asked him, how do you feel about the word? And he says, like, well, it is a kind of funny word. And I was like, damn it, you're not helping me out here. Because now it seems like that word and another word are back, if you will. But listen, you ain't going to catch me saying it in public. Not in public. Behind closed doors? With a friend? In a well-timed situation? I don't know, Jim. I don't know. But that's where we're at. And you got to know better when you are definitely on national TV and you work at an institution. Like, you got to know better. And if you want people to believe your apology, you actually have to give a good apology. This was a half-assed apology. There you go. A little garbage time before we get out of here. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's edition of The Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everyone who joined the show. You missed any of it, you can check it out on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. For all our listeners, our texters, callers, Twitchers, and YouTubers, and Sean Mapes behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.